The title of my message tonight is, Hereunto Were Ye Called. Hereunto Were Ye Called. All right? And it's from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 25. So if you'd like to open your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 25. And we'll see a very interesting piece of scripture here. Hereunto were ye called. What were we called to? Hereunto what? Well, we're going to find out. So, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 25 says this. Bit of a long reading, but hey, praise the Lord, it's the Word of God. Here we go. Verse 19, for this is thanksworthy. If a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongly, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? Okay? What glory is there if you've done something wrong and you're getting into trouble for it? All right? But if when you do well, do good, if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Verse 21, for, here's the title of my message, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, Jesus who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. He didn't retaliate back, you see. When he suffered, he threatened not. When somebody started to take him physically, he didn't get in a punch-up, you see. But committed himself to him that judges rightly. He committed himself to God, right? He committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, but by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Let's offer this time of studying God's word, eh, to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us to look into your word, and to try to work out, Lord, what it is you're saying to us in this time, Lord. Something that was written 2,000 years ago is relevant to us today. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us your word, your Bible, where we can see all these things, Lord, and read these things, and the Holy Spirit can make it clear to us what it is you want us to learn from this, Lord. And we pray, Lord, tonight, as we look through this short scripture from the book of Peter, that you help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to understand how we can benefit from it, Lord. How we can be more Christ-like in our approach to suffering, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Even when Christians walk close to the Lord, they can sometimes find themselves in physical, financial, or emotional sufferings that have come upon them through no direct fault of their own. It is during the... We sometimes get into problems, but it's not our fault. All right. It is during these types of situations that the Lord calls upon us to endure grief, but in a manner that is pleasing to him. Endure grief in his way. All right. Verse 19 of our opening scripture tonight reads, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongly. The natural man, who still has quite a bit of influence in our lives, if we allow him, automatically reacts with the question, why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? Well, as we study this portion of Scripture, we will discover that the Lord our God gives us a number of reasons why this type of thing happens to us. Now, I don't know everyone's life here at the moment, but I know we aren't all on a bed of roses, on a cloud, floating above the city, strumming our harps, you know, and having a beautiful time. Sometimes our lives have got things in them that are a bit hard, all right? Some things bring suffering. I was thinking of Terry and Debbie today. You know, they've got suffering, and it's been brought upon them. No fault of their own. God wants them to endure grief the way he wants them. He wants them to do it, all right? And if you've got something in your life today that's causing you suffering and grief, God's got a message on how to work through that stuff, how to accept it, and how to glorify Him through it, all right? So, for example, God asks in verse 20, it asks us something that we consider in regard to this. Why is this thing happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? Verse 20 reads, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well, ye suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable for God." God says, if you've done something wrong and you deserve to get punished for it, well, you know, there's no big deal about that. You deserve it. It's like the bloke on the cross beside the Lord, you know. The bloke said, if you'd be the Lord, get us out of here. And the other bloke said, what are you talking about? We deserve to be here. This bloke did nothing, you see. So Jesus is the example for our way that we should suffer acceptably with God, all right? So God says, "For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults?" You've done something wrong. You take it patiently. That's no big deal. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Whenever we endure patiently during the onslaught of undeserved, or what we might consider unfair sufferings, the Lord is pleased. The Bible tells us that it is acceptable to God. But for most of us, our flesh still protests that if God knows that our suffering is undeserved, that we're suffering unfairly, then why doesn't He come to our defence and get us out of it? Amen? Why doesn't He come and get us out of it? Doesn't Psalm 46 and verse 1 clearly tells us, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble? Well, if that's the case, why doesn't He come and rescue us? Yeah, well, that psalm does say that. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in time of trouble. The psalm says that. It does tell us that. But God also tells us in Romans 5 and verses 3 and 4 that we should glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. That word experience also can carry the meaning of maturity. So, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, or can mean maturity, works maturity in us, right? Enduring tribulation because of our conscience towards God. Mind you too, that this is talking about we're getting buffeted in our life because of our conscience towards God. It says that up there. For this is thankworthy if a man of full conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongly, all right? So it's to do with our walk with the Lord too. The word experience can also carry the meaning of maturity. And as we go through these things, these trials mature us. They bring spiritual maturity during our walk with the Lord. 2 Peter 1, 5 to 8. You can actually turn to this one if you like. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Also is something to mention about this business of enduring patiently in the midst of tribulation. In 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 8, we read, "Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it works maturity, and you see, these things, these trials and tribulations that we go through and endure the way God wants us to endure them without getting in a punch-up with people and swearing at them and yelling and sorts of things. If we endure patiently, God says it'll bring maturity in your life. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful to differentiate this teaching about patience in suffering from the Roman Catholic teaching of works-based salvation. It's not the same thing, all right? Because Christ has already endured all the suffering necessary for the payment to God for our sins. Christ made the payment to God through His suffering, right, for our sins. So the Roman Catholics have a different outlook on what suffering is about. However, by enduring undeserved suffering with patience, we are thereby following in the very steps of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose undeserved suffering on the cross provided the perfect example for the type of patience we are to follow. Verses 21 to 22 of our opening scripture, was 1 Peter 2, 19 to 25. In verse 21 to 22 of our opening scripture, it reminds us that, "For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Now, it is the patience he demonstrated during wrongful suffering that Christ has left us an example of. Right? It's the patience he demonstrated, that Christ demonstrated during wrongful suffering, that Christ has left us an example of. Not the suffering itself. Amen? God does not expect all of us to follow the Lord's example and patiently allow ourselves to be crucified on a cross. You with me? You with me? But a lot of people think it's the suffering that is the example. It's not. It's the patience. Some Roman Catholics, Philippines, eh? You see pictures of it every year. Blokes getting up on the cross and nailed to the cross and blood going everywhere. And they think they're going to get closer to God by doing that. They think they're going to get closer to God. They attempt to make themselves more acceptable to God. God doesn't want us to do that. God does not want us to do that. He wants us to endure with patience the suffering. It's the patience that is the example that Christ has left for us. When we suffer wrongfully, it is easy to object or even try to get even. But such feelings are generated by the old man, the sinful flesh, rather than by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Straight away, when we get some problem comes against us, undeserved, we want to retaliate. We want to rise up, especially the blokes. Oh, I think the girls too can be pretty catty about things too. We want to retaliate. You see, that's the man, the old man in us, the flesh. God doesn't want us to do that. To unbelievers, it may seem contradictory and even sadistic that the God whom we profess to serve actually could rescue us and protect us from enduring any suffering at all. But he doesn't. Hey, to the unbeliever, that might think, what sort of a God do you serve? What sort of a God do you actually serve? He could rescue us, but he doesn't. All right? Why doesn't he? Why doesn't God rescue us out of our tribulation? Well, in Hebrews chapter 4, 14 to 16, if you'd like to turn there, please, we read that God hasn't abandoned us, but really he wants us to use the occasion to come to his throne of grace and petition him in prayer. That's what it's about. And he uses these very sufferings for just that purpose, to cause us to come to God. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16 reads, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When we consider, at least in part, the magnitude of the undeserved suffering that Jesus Christ bore on our behalf, It should help us to patiently and quietly bear the occasional wrongful suffering he permits to come our way. We can go to the one who truly understands the grief of being unjustly treated. Verse 15 of the scripture we just read tells us, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we were, yet without sin." He was tempted to retaliate. He was tempted to fight back, but he didn't. He was without sin. He did not sin. It is rare to find someone who patiently endures trials, but when we do, it is a great testimony to the Lord's sustaining grace. If you are experiencing undeserved suffering, ask the Lord to help you trust in his word and count it all joy that you are suffering, that your suffering is because of your conscience towards God. That's what it's about. James 1, verses 2 and 4 puts it like this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We may not always understand God's eternal purpose and plan, but we can rest assured that His will is always best. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 11 and 12, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him." So, in our opening scripture tonight, 1 Peter chapter 2, we read verses 20 through to 23, and I'm going to read it again. "If when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, like we would. When he suffered, he threatened not, like we would, and committed himself to him that judges righteously, to God." Many of us don't like to read that we have been called to patiently endure suffering wrongfully. But verse 21, which we just read, assures us that to please God, we must not look for revenge or heap abuse upon our false accusers. Reviling those who revile us. We're not to do that. We are to take wrongful suffering patiently. Verse 21 tells us, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." Wow. Hard stuff, eh? The flesh, the old man doesn't like this. All right? I've been a Christian for 35 years, and my old man still rises up. He's still alive and well. When somebody falsely accuses me, or does some suffering thing to me when it's not my fault, I rise up. We've got to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't do that. We're supposed to be an example of Christ, okay? We're supposed to take Christ to the world. So verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his step." This is acceptable to God, we are told. This is what's acceptable to God. Lasting reward and a welcome from the Lord himself awaits those of us who patiently endure the comparatively light affliction we suffer wrongfully because of our conscience towards God. Amen? Lasting reward is coming. There's something coming. Let's close in prayer, eh?